When It Hits and How It Hurts by Kevin Linehan.
Joan lay dead on the floor, her once white dressing gown now stained a deep, dark red, much like the thick pool that was slowly creeping out across the laminated floorboards around her head. She looked down at the mangled red pit that was once her face, trying to understand what she was seeing. Crouching down next to her body, she reached out and froze when she saw her arms stretched out in front of her, translucent and smooth. She looked down at her torso and was shocked to see her breasts were gone. Not only that, there were no nipples either, not a trace of a belly button. Below her waist there was nothing, only empty air, though she felt she could still feel her legs. She stood up, nothing but a hovering torso, and looked once more at what remained of the head on the other Joan. Where her face used to be was now a tangled mess of blood, bone, skin, and hair. The sound of breaking glass behind her pulled her from her grim reverie, and she spun around to see a stocky man in a black jacket, black jeans, and a black baseball cap hastily throwing glasses and cups on the floor. The exposed lower half of his face was covered in red stubble, and his lips moved constantly as he muttered madly to himself. As Joan stared at him, a memory flitted across her consciousness. She remembered coming downstairs to get a glass of wine, and then the man had been standing in the kitchen, waiting. He hadn't seemed surprised to see her. Then he had raised the large wrench above his head, and she had just stood there staring as he brought it down on her forehead. She then had a vague sensation of stumbling backwards and falling before the sound of rhythmic crunching and pounding, and then silence. And then she was there, outside herself, looking down at a hole surrounded by long black hair, bits of skull caught all through it. She blinked, or at least thought about blinking, and refocused on the man in the kitchen. He had now taken to sweeping things off the counters with the bloody wrench. Plates and glasses exploded as they hit the floor, though to Joan the sounds all seemed a little muffled. After about a minute of this behaviour, the man looked around at his work and, seeming satisfied, threw the wrench across the room. It landed on the floor next to the other Joan's head with a dull, reverberating thud. As Joan stared, the man smiled to himself, as if at a job well done. Up to now, she had been feeling nothing, as if her mind was wrapped in cotton wool. But now, seeing that satisfied smirk on the face of the man who, she was now coming to realise, had just killed her, she felt a rage well up inside. It was so strong, it took her by complete surprise. She had never felt such rage in her whole life, which, seeing as she was now dead, was still technically true. She clenched her incorporeal fists and screamed in a way she had never been able to with her living throat. It sounded more to her like the roar of a lion than a human being. The smirking man in the kitchen did not seem to notice, though. She looked down at the debris of broken glass and crockery around his feet and screamed her inhuman scream again. A curved piece of glass shifted amongst the mess, making a soft jingling sound. The man looked down at it briefly, shook his head, and then made to walk out of the room. Joan stared at the glass in surprise as realization dawned. As the man took his first step over the debris, Joan screamed once more. The glass leapt up, striking the man in the back of his head. He stumbled forward and slipped on the collected detritus on the floor, falling forward and knocking his hat off as he hit the ground, exposing a shaven, bald head with a deep gash along the back where the glass had caught him. He jumped back up to his feet and spun around, scanning the apparently empty room in shocked surprise as he staggered backwards towards the front door. He turned, placed a gloved hand on the handle, and pushed it down. As the door began to open, Joan screamed again, slamming the door shut. He pulled at it as hard as he could, but it just wouldn't budge. Joan hovered forward as the man turned his back on the door again and leaned against it, looking around the room with panic in his eyes, not seeing her as she slowly approached, arms outstretched to throttle the man, unable to conceive of anything other than his absolute destruction. She leaned forward and tried to grasp his throat, but found her ghostly hands passing through the skin, not affecting it at all. She clenched her fists again inside his neck and screamed once more. As she did so, she felt herself pulled towards and into him. There was a brief sensation of fear, warmth, and rushing blood before she found herself standing there with her back to the door, leaning against it with a sharp pain in the back of her head. She held out her hands and looked down at them, confused at their unfamiliar size and shape. they were a man's hands. In fact, they were the very hands that had wielded the wrench that had smashed her skull in a few minutes ago. Somewhere deep inside her, she could feel her killer try to cry out in confusion. She stopped the sound before it reached their lips and held out a clenched fist in front of her and brought it down as hard as she could on the man's crotch. Inside, she felt the man wail as she raised the hand up and brought it down once more, just as hard. This time she felt something pop as the black trousers developed a darker stain that spread out from just below the zipper and down, down, down to the bottom of the leg as warm blood and urine began to pool in the man's shoes. Joan laughed as she listened to the man scream inside her, helpless to stop her as she took an experimental step forward, stumbling a little as he tried to fight back. She took a few more awkward steps across the floor, past her ruined corpse and across the pile of broken plates and glass on the floor of the kitchen. She crouched down, feeling the man's nerve-ending scream as she did so. The pain felt like it was happening to someone else as she reached out, picked up a fistful of sharp, shattered glass and shoved it into her mouth and began to chew. She felt the man inside squeal, feeling every laceration and every shattering tooth as she forced his mouth to open and close again and again, blood and broken teeth spilling out from between his lips and splashing onto the floor as she laughed a cruel laugh and picked up another handful. She was interrupted, however, by the sound of the front door slamming. She had been so preoccupied she hadn't realized that she'd heard it open. She hoisted the man up on his 2 feet and forced him to turn around, each movement feeling sluggish and delayed as the whimpering man inside tried and failed to resist. Standing there in the doorway was her husband Paul, his long tan coat over one arm, briefcase in the other, wearing the black pinstripe suit that she always playfully told him made him look like a mobster. His short black hair and 5 o'clock shadow framed an angular face with brown eyes that stared around at the scene with absolute shock. It was the first time Joan had felt anything other than confusion or rage since the man had ended her life. As she looked at Paul's expression, she felt a deep pit open up inside herself as she realized the terrible catastrophe the man she loved had just come home to. It was at that moment that she realized her life was over. She felt as if the sadness would tear her apart. Without the limiting factor of her human body, the emotion piled on top of her, harder and heavier with each passing moment than she had ever thought possible. She felt like she was drowning. Paul looked from the body of his dead wife, mangled on the floor, to the man standing on the kitchen tiles, dressed all in black, slowly chewing as gore flowed out of his mouth, while blood and piss leaked out of his trousers and formed a pool around him. "What the fuck?" he screamed, dropping his coat and briefcase. He rushed across the room towards the man and stopped. "What the hell are you doing?" He stared wide-eyed as the man continued to chew and piss himself. "You're not supposed to still be here. I told you I'd be home at 6 o'clock. Joan stared at him through the man's eyes, baffled. All she could manage to say with the man's mangled mouth was, "Huh?" Paul sighed and put his head in his hands. "I was supposed to come home and find the bitch murdered in a robbery gone wrong." He pointed at the pool of blood and teeth at the man's feet. "And here I find you, not only here, but also leaving fucking DNA all over the place." He grabbed a long bread knife from the counter. "Okay, change of plan." And with that, he thrust the knife between the man's ribs and into his heart, all the way to the handle. Joan staggered back, more from shock and instinct than fear of harm, as she stared at him disbelievingly. Paul smiled back wickedly. "Well, that's what I get for hiring the cheapest thug I could find, I suppose."
"You fucking killed me?"
was all Joan could manage through the man's mangled throat and shredded tongue.
"Oh, just fucking die already,"
said Paul, pushing the man as hard as he could. To his alarmed surprise, the man was completely immovable. He tried again. It was like pushing a brick wall in an overcoat.
"But why?"
she managed.
"Why?"
said Paul angrily.
"Because you fucked up, that's why."
She raised the man's hand and pointed at her own body on the floor behind Paul.
"No. Why?"
"What? Her?"
said Paul, looking back at the corpse and then staring at the man, puzzled. "I told you this already for the insurance money. Holy shit! I picked a fucking winner with you, didn't I?" He grasped the handle of the knife and twisted it as Joan continued to stare at him, glass-filled mouth still slowly opening and closing, searching for words that wouldn't come. Paul stopped twisting the knife and shook his head in exasperation and tried to push the man again. Just fall down, you fuck! You're dead! Joan stared into Paul's frustrated eyes and suddenly felt she didn't recognize the man in front of her. Almost without even thinking about it, she reached out one gloved hand and grasped the lapel of Paul's jacket tightly and tried to speak, but all she could manage was a long, guttural growl. What the fuck are you? Paul began, but was silenced as he was pulled close to the man with incredible strength. Joan wrapped the man's arms around Paul in a powerful embrace, crushing in on his ribs like a vice as the two men stood nose to nose. He struggled and tried to protest, but found the air pushed out of his lungs as he gasped.
Didn't you love me?
Joan rasped from the man's throat as she began to squeeze tighter.
I loved you.
There was a small pop from somewhere inside the shoulder of the man as the tension in the muscles pulled the bone from the joint, but Joan didn't care. It wasn't her body, and she now found she could just choose not to feel the pain if she wanted. As she squeezed ever tighter, she repeated loudly,
I loved you!
One by one, she heard the dull sound of each of Paul's ribs snapping.
I loved you!
She shouted again, directly into Paul's face, splattering him with blood, saliva, broken teeth and glass, as his eyes, now bloodshot and bulging, stared back at her in desperation and bafflement, his lips turning bright purple.
I loved you!
She screamed again and again.
I loved you! I loved you! I loved you! I loved you!
And then, clear as a bell, in her own voice, she said, I loved you, you fucking maggot. She squeezed with everything she could muster, crushing Paul's spine and chest, feeling the tendons in the arms of the body she was inhabiting all snap at once, but still she squeezed. She squeezed harder and harder, deeper and deeper, until there was nothing left of Paul's chest but shredded skin and broken ribs. Both bodies dropped to the floor, and Joan found herself hovering above them, still screaming, trying to crush something that was no longer there. She wanted to sit down on the floor and cry, but she couldn't. How could she, without eyes? She wanted to hurt him again. She wanted to watch him die over and over again, but there he was, dead. Her anger had not subsided. If anything, she was angrier now than she had been before, and she could feel it getting worse. Someone had to suffer. It didn't matter who. Someone would be along soon. They would come and they would suffer and she would see to it. They would suffer and die as she had. She would put her pain into someone else, and perhaps, at least for a moment, she wouldn't have to suffer alone. She stared at the door and waited. She was sure she wouldn't have to wait very long.